Well, good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a blessing to be in worship with all of you this morning. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm the associate pastor here. Our senior pastor is Dee Dee Roberts. She's up in the pulpit. She will deliver the message today. We are really excited to start this five-week series called The Good Life with all of you. I hope that you enjoy this journey with us through John Wesley's sermons as we look at what good really means, the way that God describes good in the Bible. Just a couple of quick announcements this morning. The women's studies have kicked off and are off to a great start. Our men's morning Bible study is going to start on Wednesday, January 29th, which is about a week and a half away. It'll be at 6 a.m. And it'll be down in the large conference room. So, men, it is a great time to come together, study the Word, and just have a time of fellowship before you head out to work or wherever you're headed on Wednesdays. We have one other study, which is a study of the book of Romans. It's in your bulletin, and it's going to start February 12th, Wednesday night, February 12th at 6 o'clock, and that'll be in the large conference room as well. With that being said, let's take a moment as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship and stand up and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Don't let the devil blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let the devil blow it out.
shine, let it shine, let it shine.
All right, here we go now.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
One more time now.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine.
Please stand and join in the hymn of praise, "When Morning Gilds the Sky," number 185. Be seated. And now we'd like to invite all of our children to come down for our children's sermon with Miss Laura.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. It's so good to see you. I have missed each and every one of you, even y'all too. And you too. I have a question. What happens when somebody does something wrong? Do they gloat about it, or do they kind of hide? They hide, don't they? When they've known that they have done something wrong, do they kind of like hide down their head, and they may, whatever they have taken, maybe put in a dark place, right? Yeah, which is not good. But when we do something that we're proud about, what happens? We want to tell everybody, right? And that there's a bit of light in that compared to the darkness of doing something bad. Have y'all ever been to an art gallery before? And at art galleries, everything, the art pieces are lit up. They have lights that light them up because we want to see all of the wonderful paintings and the sculptures and everything that an art gallery has, and we love to see all the little details. And so it's a very bright place. You know, in the Bible, it talks about light as God's love. to us. And so we are starting a series on what is good. And today it talks about good morning. Were you awoken this morning to darkness, or were you awoken this morning to light? Did y'all have light, or did y'all wake up in the dark? You woke up in the morning to light. So did I. And so for us, that makes us feel happy, makes us feel excited about the day, but especially that light makes us feel about God's love and what He wants for us. And so I want you to think about that as we talk, as Pastor Didi and Brother Nick talk about good morning. What does that mean for us? Is that a good morning because God has given us another day? He's given us light that we can enjoy the day and enjoy His love? Let's think about that. Gracious God, we thank You for this new day that You have given us and this light that shines around us all. We just ask that You remind us that the darkness can also be gloomy, but the light shines with us. We ask this all in Your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Christ is the world's light. Christ and none other. Born in our darkness, He became our brother.
Let us join our hearts and minds together as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, for the light of this morning, we give You thanks and praise. For the sun which warms the air even in the midst of winter cold and reminds us that spring is around the corner. New life is coming. Indeed, new life is already sprouting among us. We give You thanks this day for all that You have shown us this past week, and even for what will come in the week ahead. For fresh learning, for the recovery of love, for forgiveness, for the opportunities to serve. This week we are especially mindful, O God, of the family and friends of Betty Steed, a wonderful member who passed this week. And we pray your blessings on her daughter and all those who will miss her. We pray also for the Brandon family, especially for Philip in the loss of his mother Phyllis, and ask that you give him comfort and peace in the days ahead. And God, even as we say goodbye to those we love, we also have the opportunity to welcome and say hello to Wilder. We give you thanks for his safe birth and arrival among us. And most of us can't wait to see him face to face. Oh God, on this day, when there is so much light and so much to be hopeful for, we are also mindful of those things that are not so hopeful, the things that scare us, the things that grieve us. And so we pray today for our nation in the midst of this conflict. We pray for our president in the midst of his impeachment. And we pray for Congress as they go through that process. Lord, we pray for peace in Iran and Iraq and all those places in the world that seem to constantly be rocked by violence. May our prayers let your spirit loose in those places, and may you finally be able to bring peace. Lord, we pray for all those who are sick or lost this day, knowing that their lives are lived in darkness, not only the darkness of the night, but the darkness of a soul shrouded by sin. Lord, release them from their sin. Help them to find their way. And if you can use us as witnesses and companions for them on their journey, we open our hearts and our lives, our hands, and we offer our feet to you that we might be your ministers in the world. And finally, oh God, we pray for those who have no one else to pray for them, knowing that you know who they are, and that when we open our lives to those who are the least and the last, that you will surely show us how to love. All of this we pray in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, in gratitude for the generosity and abundant love and grace of God in our lives, we now have the opportunity to give of our tithes and offerings. Let us give with hope. Let us give generously. Let us give in love. And let us pray. Oh God, receive these tithes and offerings. Make from them what you will. Multiply them. Use us to distribute them. And above all else, may they bring you glory as those who receive the ministries that they provide for recognize your love and your grace in their lives. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen.
I will be reading the epistle lesson from Ephesians 5, 8 through 4. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it's number 897. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." If you would please stand now for our hymn of meditation, which is number 551, "Awake, O Sleeper."
Remain standing for the reading of the gospel. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane and said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and bowed his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible to let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they could not keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is here. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Our sermon series for the next several weeks is based around the first several sermons of John Wesley in the compilation of his sermons, standard sermons. And they are, for us as United Methodists, considered doctrine. Wesley never wrote a theological treatise or a kind of systematic theology. Instead, his theology is found in his sermons and his writings and his actions. And so sometimes you may hear from other folks, you Methodists don't believe anything. Not true. Or you Methodists, your beliefs are so kind of inconsistent and all over the place. And that may be a little more true. Not the inconsistent part, but all over the place, yes. Because we've always been immersed in this kind of practical theology of how do we live the faith? How do we put the faith that we have in our hearts into practice? And we kind of stand at a tension spot in the center, holding things that don't necessarily go together together. So we talk about vital piety of the heart and social holiness. One without the other isn't enough. And so as we work through these sermons the next several weeks, first of all, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you find that it's fun. You'll receive on Thursday every week a paraphrase of the sermon that we've been working with that week. So you can read through that sermon. There'll be some, like this week, there'll be some devotional questions to consider. Maybe you'll want to journal about them. Maybe you'll want to talk with some friends about them. And then we'll come together and have the worship together and have those thoughts again rise up among us. As we look to how it is that we, as United Methodists here at Asbury, seek to be God's people in the world. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are so grateful to you for the scripture, for the tradition that we have been handed through the Wesleys, for our own reason and ability to think through all of the questions and opportunities we have, and for our experience of your vital love that within our own hearts bears witness and gives us assurance that you have saved us, that we are yours, and you call us to be your partners in the work you are doing to redeem the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what do you do when your alarm clock rings? I know you immediately throw back the covers, jump out of bed, and all but skip to the bathroom. Right? Or maybe you groan, roll over and hit the snooze button, and spend the next 10 minutes convincing yourself that you really do have to get up and start the day. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. Like them or not, we depend on alarms to wake us up or warn us of danger or keep us from making mistakes. We live with ringing, clanging, beeping, and blaring. And the truth be told, if we all paid attention to the alarms all the time, the world would be safer, and we would probably be a whole lot happier. But we don't. Pay attention, that is. And every one of us can tell a story of the consequences of our sleeping through an alarm, whether literally or figuratively. For you see, what is true about waking up in the morning, or seeking shelter in a storm, or leaving a burning building, can be said of our spiritual lives as well. It is easy to fall asleep at the spiritual wheel. In fact, many of us often feel like we're missing something. We struggle with the darkness within ourselves, the doubt and fear and worry that we work so hard and try so hard to overcome. But if you've ever struggled like that, you know you can't do it alone. If you try, you will be disappointed in yourself time and again. Because we know what we should not do, but we can't seem to find the time or the discipline to do what we believe we ought to do. In this world, we live without clarity. We find ourselves worn out from grasping for the good life. And sometimes we look around at all that we have accumulated and accomplished and wonder, is this really all there is? Maybe there's something more. Now, interestingly enough, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement in the middle of the 18th century in England, discovered around him people who felt the exact same way. I suppose it's true that the more things change, the more they stay the same. He named this condition of kind of unrest or wondering or being, not quite fully Christian, as spiritual sleepiness. But he also offered a cure. What we need, Wesley said, was the recovery of the image of God that is stamped upon every one of our souls. Just think about that. The image of God stamped afresh on our soul. Now, to find this image, we have to go through a spiritual transformation. It's been covered up and rusted over and really quite grimy due to the sin and the sleepiness and the ignorance of our lives. Most of us will have to undergo quite a lot of transformation, in fact, because we're going to have to realize that while we are well fed, we are hungry for righteousness. We who are proud will have to have done, we who are proud of what we've done and accomplished will have to be transformed into meek people. And all of us who just know we are right must become peacemakers. For you see, the spiritual life is really a gift. And the only way to receive the gift, Wesley said, was to pay attention, to wake up and open our lives to the very presence of Jesus Christ, who alone can make all things new. And friends, this is the scariest part. Sometimes religion gets in the way of this transformation that God wants to work in our lives. Especially for us. When you think about it, we all get to pick our church, and all of us pick a church where we're comfortable, right? A place where we feel loved and cared for and affirmed for who we are. Our church is and ought to be a safe place. But because of that, it can also become a place where we escape from the world, where we come to deny that depth of sin within us, and where we find all of our prejudices, all of our wrongheadedness reinforced by the idea that those of us inside the church are somehow so much better than those outside the church. At its worst, Wesley saw that religion can create Pharisees who become convinced that the world is bad and reject the world that God so loved. Now, there is not room in Methodist belief for this. In fact, at our best, United Methodists are do-gooders. Always, not always appreciated for it either. But Wesley challenged his peers in the church to leave the building and meet people where they were. In the slums of the city that had expanded too rapidly due to the Industrial Revolution, a lot of country folks, you see, had migrated into the cities to work in the factories. They worked 6 days a week, nearly 12 to 14 hours a day. Their working conditions were horrible, and their living conditions weren't much better. They lived in tenements that were overcrowded. There was a lack of sanitation. There was poverty, disease, child labor, illiteracy. Wesley believed that Christ was calling the church into the world, the real world, as vile and complicated and dangerous as it can be. Christians, wake up. We cannot escape God's call by hiding in the safety of the church. For you see, the greatest rule of all is love. Love God, love neighbor. And love led Wesley and those early Methodists to do crazy and wild things like start Sunday schools, which were really an opportunity for the illiterate factory workers to come together for a meal and to learn to read and write, especially the children who were forced into labor. He started health clinics where the sick could be treated for common ailments. And worst of all, most controversial of all, most radical of all, Wesley left the pulpit of the church and went out to preach on the street corners and in the fields and in at the front doors of the factories. He did that. And he challenged. No, he insisted that Methodists do that too. Now, in our epistle lesson this morning, the Apostle Paul says that we were once lost in darkness. In fact, he says we were darkness. Wesley says that darkness looks like gluttony and slandering and drunkenness and having a spirit of revenge and being willing to accept injustice and being self-absorbed and consumed with getting ahead. These conditions, this darkness, can spread over the land like a flood, destroying anyone who gets in its way. But Paul says, now in the Lord, you are light. Light. Light that illumines. Light that exposes the lie. Light that brings truth. Light that wakes up the world. Pay attention. It's time for us to wake up. The trumpet of the Lord is blasting. The bells are tolling. The sirens are blaring. God is calling us to full and abundant life in Jesus Christ, inviting us to know true peace and fulfillment and joy through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us. You know, God is not waiting for us to get it all together before God calls us to do something for the kingdom. God is not concerned with what we have or have not accomplished. God simply wants us to know that we are loved, and to experience the freedom of grace that God gives. God wants to turn on the light so that you and I can have one of those epiphanies where we know that we know that we know in our hearts what God has done for us. For you see, in Christ, God has done for us what we could never have done for ourselves. Fresh stamped on our souls is the image of our Father. And by the power of God, we look just like Him. In the story of the prodigal son, we're told that the younger son took his inheritance and moved far away to make a life for himself. It didn't go well. His dreams ended in a pigsty, with him eyeing the slop that the pigs were eating and thinking that it looked mighty tasty. And at the moment when his belly was at its most empty and he was the most powerless over his situation, he woke up. He came to himself, says the gospel. He remembered that he was the son of his father and he could go home. He would ask to work on the farm. he would say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he got up, and he began to make the long walk home. But while he was still far off, before he made it, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran to him and put his arms around him and kissed him. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing to expect from God except love. Every time we come to ourselves and realize that you and I are children of God and lift up our hands or open our hearts, we will receive nothing but love. Wake up. Get up. Take a step toward home so you can hear this today, wherever in your soul and in whatever way you need to hear it. This is the good news. Sleeper, awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you and in you and through you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand if you're able for the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin. It's from Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. In Christ Jesus our Lord, thanks be to God. Amen.
I suppose that aisle can seem like a long way to the chancel. But remember this. When you come to yourself, when you hear the voice of God in your head, when you experience the power of the Holy Spirit present with you, all you have to do is wake up, get up, and take one step. And God will meet you and receive you with joy. So would this congregation. In the name of God, we would receive you with joy, take you in, and make you part of this family as we all work together, learn together and serve together for the power and the glory of God's sake. So I invite you this morning, come forward, pray at the altar rail. If you'd like to become part of this faith family, just let Brother Nick or I know, and we would be happy to receive you this day. And as we do so, those of us who are not praying in that way can sing our closing hymn together, number 318, isn't it? 318. Let us sing.
1, 2, and 5.
Brothers and sisters, as we leave this sanctuary and go to Sunday school and out into the world, I give you this good word. May you live this week fully awake. May you be empowered by the Holy Spirit to pay attention. And may you see something that breaks your heart or inspires your will, and be led to pray for the power and the courage to respond. And through it all, may the abundant love and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.